Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Wade. And welcome back to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, Old Man Wade. I'm honored to do two podcasts with my homegirl. State your name, state your where you from.
Lady Beast, born in Montreal, raised in Boston.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I didn't know that, did you?
You're a Canadian citizen?
Uh-huh.
You're Haitian, right?
Yes.
You speak French?
Yes.
Oh, so you can actually go there and actually speak French. And then, so when you say, fucking, I'm moving to Canada, you can actually... Say fuck
yeah.
You. I'm
like, fuck y'all. I'm yes, I can. But I mean, I wouldn't want to be there for the winter time.
Is it really like that?
Oh, yes.
Oh. I met some guy from Minnesota. He was telling me that it's overblown how bad it is in Minnesota. So I was wondering if it was overblown how bad it is in Canada.
It's really bad. I mean, I know Minnesota just had a snowstorm, right? They just had a snowstorm.
It's not even December yet.
Global warming. You know,
it's a myth.
I don't even have that much information on it, so I don't want to comment. But yeah, I was born in Montreal and I moved to the States when I was 6.
Well, you actually are legitimately like a Canadian citizen. Like, you weren't like, oh, I popped out here, then I moved back to the U.S. Like, I learned something new.
Montreal, have you been to Montreal?
Nah, only time I've been out the country, I went to Mexico, Dominican Republic, and
St. Thomas,
yeah. I was going to say West Indies, but with St. Thomas.
People are ridiculously nice in Montreal.
I'm not sure how I react to that, because I remember the first time I went to Florida, as an adult.
He's like, I don't know about that.
Come on. I'm an asshole. I'm perfectly aware of it. But, like, the first time someone said hello to me, when I went to Florida as an adult, someone said hello, I went,
yeah.
And he looked at me weird. I said, I'm sorry, I'm from the North. I'm just not used to people being nice to me for no reason at all.
Remember that couple we met in Dominican Republic? They were from Montreal. He was like Indian, I think.
Oh, yeah. Over the little hut.
They were like real nice. Yeah, with their two kids and his wife.
That voice is my lovely and beautiful wife. I dated
her. Maria!
I outtake my coverage. But this is also true. But no, I brought this Lady Beast back because if you listen to the last one, we ended up talking about hip hop. Most Def was brought up, and so I wanted to act. There's some things I've been meaning to actually talk to people about when it comes on hip hop. Mm-hmm. And my boy Just Greg is going to come on, I think, next week or the week after. We're going to talk about hip hop again.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that always kills me is like when you get these lists of like the top, like the best rappers mm-hmm. of all time, two things that always kill me. One is people make these lists, and I do this myself,
mm-hmm.
is you make lists and you throw a name in there that you know shouldn't be on there.
JT.
Just, huh? We don't fight.
He's the obvious.
No, that's my point. I'm gonna get to that. But you throw these names on there that don't need to be on there. Like someone put Joe Budden in the top 25, and I'm like, hit the brake. I'm like Joe Budden. I'm like, he's nice. I'm not gonna call him top 25.
25.
The fact that you can't,
maybe
the fact
30.
You have to, yeah, the fact you have to think about it is kind of like, yeah.
He's dope.
But then they'll forget. They'll add Joe Budden, but then forget like LL Cool J. Who like had a decade of dominance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
True.
And then
but it depends on what you're talking about. We're talking about lyrically or
I mean
that's the thing.
Yeah, and
because L isn't lyrical.
He not really. You're right. But you know what it is? It's kinda like when you get a guy like Bob Cousy in basketball, who if he played now, there's no guarantee he would be as great now as he was then. But you get a guy like Bill Russell who can play in any era. But you get LL Cool J, it was like, he created a genre. He made it okay to be, quote-unquote, soft. He made it cool and okay mm-hmm. to talk about women in a positive light mm-hmm. and still be cool. He like, he made his own lane.
He's the first sex symbol.
Yeah. First hip-hop sex symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and then you can't talk, like, a decade of dominance, a decade of platinum-selling albums,
mm-hmm.
80s and 90s. Like, you know what I mean? And, like... And then the way he crossed over. Well, that's a totally different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so you forget names like that. And then I wish someone would make a list, and this is to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Make a list without Eminem. Make a list without Jay-Z. Make a list without Nas. Make a list without Tupac. Make a list without the obvious. Because people forget KRS-One. People forget Big Pun. I think Big Pun's better than Biggie.
Yeah, he is.
And people always go, oh, Biggie's one of the best. No, he's not. Stop it right now. Stop it right now. 2 hours. You can't be the best over 2 hours. Pun had bars.
But that's what they're talking about, the impact behind it, too. I think when people are like, these are my top five, like, that's where it kind of has to get a little specific, because I'm like, are you talking about impact or are you talking about lyrical?
Yeah. Lyrics? Like, and someone said to me, and it was funny, someone was like, oh, Jay-Z doesn't have, Jay-Z isn't lyrical. I'm like, I can't even have this conversation with you if you're just going to say that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, what do you mean he's not lyrical? So I hear people say that, I'm like, I can't even have this conversation with you. Like, I know people who hate Jay-Z and then go, he's still one of the greatest rappers of all time.
Yeah, they hate to
love him,
that's why.
You know what I mean? So it's like things like that. And then then you forget the impact that Tribe Called Quest. People forget the Beastie Boys. Everyone talks about Eminem. Y'all forgot the Beastie Boys had hits. The Beastie Boys reigned supreme they still make it. They still make music. But they, like, their songs, still bad. Everyone talks about Outkast and they bring up Speaker Box of Love Below. I'm like, and I'm not even, I just got put on Outkast maybe like 5 years ago when I really started. I bought it. I didn't like it when I was younger. I listen to it now. Mm-hmm. It's a banger. People forget that he had more than just Hey Ya. Like, my first introduction to Outkast.
Who are these people? Millennials? Because
A lot of millennials, a lot of people who say they know hip-hop and don't. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I heard Outkast was on AT Alien's Elevators. That was my shit. And I never bought an album until Aquemini, which was, I think, their next album. And I didn't really like it, but again, this was just my young mind. But going back and listening to it, I was like, damn. But even when I didn't really like them, I understood what they meant to hip-hop. And then people, The Who.
Oh, God. But going to an Outkast, I'm going to talk a little thing. But at the time, like, people were all about, like, New York rap, though. It was a time where people weren't really...
Johnny Beast Mode?
Johnny Beast Mode, what up?
What up, though?
But that was the time where, like...
Boo, Manny Mac getting kicked off, boo.
Oh, because my girl get it together. Anyway, so
she probably at work watching like one of her.
Love you.
Her Ryan and Kyle's kid.
Right. Oh, Kyle's kid. He's hilarious.
Oh, he's gonna be a G.
He's
trouble.
He's gonna steal my wife.
He tried to steal his wife.
He looked at me dead in my face.
A little bit too.
He looked at my deadly face and started like. And
Mark was
like, this motherfucker for real?
And I was like, go ahead, dude. I can have everything she needs.
At the time when, like, Outkast came out, like, down south music wasn't necessarily, like, embraced either.
No. So, you had to sound like an idiot. Yeah, or you were from No Limit or Cash Money.
Yeah, Cash Money was like, you know, when, Walk Around Fitted with My Pinky Blank, like that song. I was like, yeah.
Someone talked about how like that song really like ushered in like a whole new like era of like hip hop and music. Mm-hmm. How like that started like the whole fancy thing with like people talking about money and flashy jewels. And I'm like, nah, man.
No.
Like, have you never heard Reasonable Doubt?
Yeah, that and Rakim was one of them because he started wearing the gold chains and all that stuff.
Slick Rick.
Yeah, that's been but that's the thing. When people are like, this best ever, that best ever, I'm like, well, what is your timeline of hip hop? How long is that? Because you're basing it off of probably from like 2000 to now. So I'm like, if you really want to talk about impact and lyrical and this and that, I'm like, you guys really got to like go way back. You can't just be like.
Like KRS-One.
It's like, come on, man, you know? So. And plus, like, with the whole dancing thing, there's a.
That's part of hip hop. Break dancing.
There's pioneers out there and legends out there that like they're still around and they're like in their mid-40s, probably almost 60s. So we're fortunate to still have them around to ask them those questions. And they were around when it started, and they were around before it was even called hip hop.
Sure.
So when people talk about the best this and best that, I'm just like, you have no clue what you're talking about.
No. And people forget that graffiti is a part of hip hop. People forget about, And when people go hip hop and they hear, and I'm guilty of doing this. I'm guilty of doing this when I say Drake isn't hip hop. Like, it's not hip hop to me, but it still is. Like, you know, it is a someone else. And I'm 1,000 fucking years old. I say this all the time. And I get my wax stuck in my ways. And my boy Jelani always brings up the point. He goes, that music isn't for you.
What music?
A lot of the,
No! Hold up.
A lot of the new age.
Share your video for the next 24 hours. Okay, sure.
But people talk about, stuff like that. Like, I don't like the little Yachty's. I don't like the little Uzi's. I don't like the little Verge. All of them sound and look exactly alike.
Yeah.
Me and the wife were watching MTV Jams one day, and we stopped to go watch something else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, let me go back and because we had a DVR. Mm-hmm. Let me go back and rewind and see if we missed any videos from like our time or some good songs." Mm-hmm. Everything sounded exactly the same. I was like, "Is that the same dude?" I'm like, "Is that the same dude as the other one? Is this person the same as that one?" I was like, "But they're literally all the same person," and they kind of like bugged me out. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't get it. Everyone wants to look like Lil Wayne. What does Snoop say? Snoop had an album out called Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. You know, making a stick aside the Beyonce Lemonade thing. Mm-hmm. And he goes, everyone here sounds like the other nigga. Back when I was making music, he goes, you're biting. Use another nigga. And I was just like, it's true. Like,
it's a crime. Biting is a crime.
Yeah, like, it's one thing when, like, you pay homage to somebody, like, when Snoop did Lottie Dottie. Mm-hmm. Like, he was paying homage to Slick Rick. Mm-hmm. It's another thing when you have singers who do the same thing, and they do these older songs that they grew up listening to. Like, when Neo did Sex With My Ex, and he basically made himself sound like Prince. Mm-hmm. Paying homage to somebody mm-hmm. like that. But, like, a lot of these dudes now, like, I don't think they realize how they're being used. Because a lot of these guys, it's like, all right, we got our one album out of you. Deuces.
Yeah.
I'll see you later. And it's a damn shame that that's how it is, but...
That's the thing, because when I see one of these new artists, I'm just like, are people even going to remember you 5 years from now? Like, are you even going to be considered a classic? You know what I mean? That's why I'm just like, I know you're not going to be considered a classic 5 years from now, because all of these rappers, all the hip-hop artists that we love till this day, I'm like, they've been making hits and they continue to, like, stay on a high level with, like, some type of substance. And that's the thing that's sad, because I'm like, you know, you're going to be a one-hit wonder, and then that's it. You get your whatever, your little 5 mil, and you're out. But
Redman is 45. He just put out another album. He has another one coming out next year. Method Man just put out another album last year. He's been out since the 90s. Jay just put out an album. He's been out since the 90s. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys,
Caleb's coming out with one.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he had one on recently on Styles P.
Yes.
And that was a banger. So what kills is, so you have all these rappers who have made a career for themselves, and I feel like this is the one hit wonder time of hip hop.
Yeah.
Because you got the Kendrick Lamars, who, he may not be my favorite rapper, but I can't deny how good he is.
I love Kendrick.
J. Cole's last album I thought was whack, but I'm still a J. Cole fan.
Mm-hmm.
Raekwon still putting out music. And then you get guys like KRS still tours. Slick Rick still tours. Dougie Fresh still tours. A lot of these guys still do tours.
Yeah, but that just shows the hunger for it.
Yeah, the hunger for it. The fact that their music is timeless. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, people may only know Slick Rick from Bedtime Story.
Mm-hmm.
People may only know him from that. My first introduction to Slick Rick was on Aquemini. Oh. The Get a Kid, Get Back mm-hmm. Now. Like, that was the first time I heard Slick Rick. I was like, what? Because he was in jail for like 10, 15 years? And then he came out with The Art of Storytelling. This was late, mid-90s. I still bump that album because that album was still dope 15 years later.
I like that song I play.
What?
Art of Storytelling.
Yeah. And it's that dope a song. So you get guys who because they're that good, because they're, and because, like you said, they're that hungry, mm-hmm. they can still tour. They can still put out new music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where's Lil Vert going to be in 10 years?
I don't even know who that is.
You don't even need to, because who the fuck, the name alone is dumb. What's the dude, Kodak Black? Goes on a Breakfast Club. And this, and like, the Breakfast Club can make or break your career if you're a hip-hop artist. He goes on in a face mask, like he's, I'm like, dude, you fucking idiot. like, it's different. Like, MF Doom does it. That's his thing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they don't even consider, like, they don't even care if they bite. They just take it. Like, they don't even understand. And the fact that you're not even honoring that, to me, says a lot. I'm like, you're just taking, and that's it, and you're running, and you kind of, like, think it's your own thing. The thing I do appreciate about these new rappers, there has to be a balance. I get that, because I can't listen to just one genre of music all yeah. the time. I'm not saying I bump their music, but
Bad and Bougie, so
I ain't gonna lie. Give me a couple drinks, I will dance to it, but it's not something
I like. 50. I like 50's music. I like G-Unit. I like Young Buck. Tony Yayo's album was fucking dope.
Really?
Oh, Dr. Prophetic is a felon? And
he's like, I can't even talk right now.
So he has this line, and it's so stupid, but it's so great. He starts with this. The first line is out. Cocksucker, this ain't rap. Check my rap sheet. I feed you to the rats with peanut butter on your feet. Yeah, but it's the
smart. I got the visual.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And that's the thing that I think a lot of it lacks. It's like creativity. Like, you can have fun and still be creative. I worked at a bar for a year. And I heard Britney Spears every fucking day. But you know what? I loved her album. It's great workout music. I appreciate Taylor Swift. Fun music. Everything doesn't have to be KRS-One, Teach You a Message. Everything doesn't have to be Nas's I Am. Sometimes you want fun music. John Legend and Andre 3000, Greenlight. And when you say sometimes you have to move away from the Stevie Wonder and let them know how it is, it doesn't have to be like so like.
But so, also, great artists, they don't just listen to this what type of music they do.
Yeah.
They listen to other stuff in order to get inspired.
Mystical did an interview on that one was dope though. He did one on Rap City. That's how long ago it was. Mm-hmm. And he was saying the reason he raps the way he raps is because of James Brown. And then I hear it and I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Like, he's again another guy from the South.
Chicken,
you
ass,
me,
cool.
Don't like fall. Yeah,
he does.
Look at the grenade, look at the ground, you're not making it without your head. You're trouble, that's
what you're about. He does so much.
And you don't really think about it until you actually hear it. You're like, oh shit, he does sound like. He does. Like, mm-hmm. So you realize, oh shit, he does sound like James Brown.
He does. He talks a lot.
Yeah. But then, like, you hear stuff like that, and you hear like a lot of rappers who get a lot of influence from other places. But it's like I don't even think a lot of these new rappers even know their history.
Not at all.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. My wife loves KRS-One, loves The Woo. Like, it's not even just, like, I asked my wife what her favorite song was, and it was a deep cut from The Woo. It wasn't even, like, Triumph or Cream. It was the one with the violins. Wu-Tang, motherfucker.
Like, one of my favorites.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's just the music. Yes. So, you know when you can feel music? Obviously, you're a dancer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you can just feel like you hear everything, like...
And they use violins and all, like, they have an orchestra.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's how you know they listen to other stuff, because they're meshing both of them together, which is, like, super nasty.
Oh, was it Aerosmith? Was it Aerosmith and Run-DMC?
Mm-hmm.
Walk
yeah.
This Way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were the first ones to really, like, bridge the gap when it comes to, like, it was like, that song, again, that song still bangs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is the 80s where, like, you know, it was... taboo, like, to, like, do, like, rap was a fad. Like, I was in the 90s and mom's talking to my cousin, who's a cunt. and he said to me that hip-hop was a fad. He was just like, hip-hop won't be around in another 5 years.
Who said that?
When
did he say that?
He said that in, like,
well,
early,
I mean,
like, mid-90s.
If you look at the way things are going now.
But no, but think about
it. It's not going to go nowhere.
It's not because you still have, like, Redman still puts on music. Method Man.
Yeah, but they're not going to put on music forever.
Redman's 50. Redman's 45. He said, I'm going to be in hip hop till I'm. He said, he's like, till he's running around with a stomach like Hitchcock. But the thing about it is, he's still in shape. Like, he's still, like, when he goes on, like, on tour, like, he crowd dives. Like, he, crowd surfs, excuse me. He, like, his, they were saying, like, the energy in his shows still bang. Busta Rhymes.
You even I saw Busta Rhymes this song. He didn't do shit.
You serious?
Yes, I saw him.
He was tired. Right.
He was just like walked. He was not what he used to
be. But again, like he's big now. Redman.
He needs to stop. But go ahead.
Yeah. But like you look at Redman. Have you seen him lately? No. You look at him in the face. You can tell.
Oh yeah,
You can tell he's old.
Yeah.
But he's still in shape though, because he knows he was actually talking about that on the Breakfast Club. He had an interview. And he talks about like still staying in shape and still being able.
Yeah.
To move.
I'm sorry,
Redman.
I think he's so cute.
You're,
it's the personality. It's like it's all of that. It's all like he's not the best looking guy, but it's just all of that. Yeah.
In the band, I'm a marathon man. Redman hitting more balls than ever saw kids. I love Redman. When I do something any day. When I knock MCs out, they yell, "Me man."
Have you heard Miss International?
That's one of my favorite Redman Method Man songs. It's so smooth.
Weren't you on more? I'm just playing.
Keith Murray. Eric Sermon killed that beat. International. But again, another one of my albums that came out 2013, 15, and banger, beginning to end. And it's also another thing you have to like evolve with your fans. Jay-Z has evolved with his fans. Method Man, Redman evolved with the fans. The RZA evolved with his fans. The RZA is one of my favorite hip hop artists because he didn't just rap and make beats. He was just like, okay, well, he hooked up with the dude from who did Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, yeah.
He started. He did the score for Kill Bill. He got award recognition for the music he did on that. He did Iron Fist, which I think he wrote and starred. He was a terrible actor, but the movie was fun.
Mm-hmm.
He was good in American Gangster. He bridged out to do other things. LL Cool J, Ice Cube. And people forget how nice Ice Cube was.
You lie. No Vaseline was dope, but
I think No Vaseline is the greatest diss track. Like he, it was. It's not like now. It's like subliminal hits. He was like, you, mm-hmm. you, and you.
Fuck you. You're cool.
But yeah. The villain does get fucked with no Vaseline. Dre, another pioneer in hip hop who did his thing. And say what you will about Puffy. Don't worry if I write rhymes. I write checks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
got you know, he did the whole Ghetto Fabulous thing. He's the one who really like. Put it out there for real.
And people forget how much money like he's worth. Like he put in work. He was a back again. He was a dancer on what's it, Leonard Color? I forget what he was. He was a dancer before he was a producer.
I hear that too.
Like and that's what that was his thing. Like he started from this isn't what I want to do, but I'm gonna do this because I'm good at it, and worked his way up to like $500 million.
And he's educated.
Yeah. And smart enough not to shoot somebody. Smart enough to get someone else to do that shit for you.
Think they have something to do with that?
Who?
Like the whole, like...
Big Hip Hop thing? I think J.M. Puffy had something to do with that.
Jay?
I think J.M. Puffy had something to do with that. What's the thing? Who benefited...
Jay? Why Jay?
Who benefited the most from that?
I mean, yeah, Jay, like, you know... But I did see in an interview where Jay admitted where he was like, he told Biggie to do a retaliation song. And then Biggie was like, nah, I don't think I should because I know how it can get. But Jay was one of the people that did egg him on to be like, you better say something. But I think maybe, not the shooting wise, but I think Jay probably instigated a little bit.
Looking at it like this, throughout history, you see a lot of friends become enemies when money and fame is involved.
Yes.
The most classic one, Et Tu Brute, His best friend stabbed him in the back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't, I hope it's not true, but I wouldn't put it past him, you know what I mean? Because sometimes when, what is it, when money and friendship get, money and blood don't mix, like two chicks and no two dicks and no chicks, you find yourself a serious shit. You know what I mean? Like, that happens. Like, you know what I mean? Who knows? I'm sure it is.
She said, ew.
Oh, you love that song, right?
No, I
do. Number nine should have been number the one.
The one to me, if you ain't getting bags, stay a fuck from police. But no, but that's just how I wonder sometimes, man. Like, I wonder if Puffy and OJ had something to do with that. Like, Shook, and I love how every so often Shook Knight comes up. I think Shook has something to do with the Pac one. I wouldn't be shocked if they all got together and was just like, we're not going to get anywhere in life if we do that. But I also wouldn't be shocked if the government has something to do with Tupac. Not Biggie. Okay. Not Biggie. Tupac was very vocal when it came to like how he felt about things in the black community and like, you know, and started speaking up a lot more about how black women need to be stronger and things like that. Mm-hmm. So he spoke up a lot about that. Imagine where he would be right now.
Be a president. You'd probably be the president of the United States at this point.
We have a fucking orange
president. Fuck face. We don't say his name.
Or at least would have something to do with Obama. Like, he would have been side by side. He'd probably be vice president or something.
Like, I feel like he was an activist that we needed. And everyone talks, and I love how people say, stay in your lane. And I love when even, like, you heard black people say that. I'm like, oh, so how'd you feel about, Lew Alcindor, when he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and started speaking up? What about when Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali? Mm-hmm. What about when Bill Russell spoke up? Like, so you want, so it's also, it's okay for people to speak, but only when you want us to speak.
Yeah.
And that shit kills me. And I hate when people say that shit. I'm like, so, I'm not even talking about Catholic. I'm just talking about when people speak up, it's like, stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll bring Kenny Chesney or what's the dickhead from Detroit, Kid Rock, can speak up. But you don't want, but Nas has to stay silent, or Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole have to stay silent.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit kills me. It's like, so you can't have it both ways.
Oh,
and Jalen Rose brought up, I'm listening to his book now, his audiobook, and he brought up, and this is something I've said a million times, how people appreciate Muhammad Ali now. Because when he couldn't speak, that's when they started to appreciate him. But America fucking hated him.
Yeah, because he was like, fuck your war. I'm not going. Vietnam being called. Call me no nigga.
Yeah.
I ain't going. I don't want that shit. So the other one was like, taking my job away. Like, you're the only one calling me that, but you want me to go fight your war. What
the hell? Well, people bring that up all the time. That got brought up recently about, you know, like, why people kneeling, blah, blah, blah. Somebody brought that up recently, like, oh, it's a disgrace to the uniform is a disgrace or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, it's disgraceful sending a bunch of black men and women to war, you know, and then them coming home and still getting spit on and called a nigga. How do you think they felt coming back from Vietnam?
Or homeless.
Not how your grandfather felt, not how your white Uncle Ben felt. Mm-hmm. How do you think fucking Jamal Jackson felt mm-hmm. when he came back from Vietnam,
with no job,
was still called a dirty nigga, still couldn't go places, still couldn't do things. Like, that shit pisses me off.
Yeah.
You're disrespecting.
No, because I don't understand why this dude is kneeling. Because of police brutality and the injustice of the world and the systematic oppression placed upon black and people of color. This is why Kaepernick is kneeling.
But that's the problem. It went because people forgot.
The message got all fucked up.
It's a distraction. It's literally a distraction to get people stop thinking about one thing, stop thinking about another. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find this thing that from a comic book, but basically this writer does a lot of he writes The Punisher,
mm-hmm.
and Punisher fought the Vietnam War, and he wrote it from the perspective of this white guy. And his best friend in the war was a black kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, like, and I guess he got hooked on black dude, got hooked on heroin. And he was like, come on, man, you got so much to live for when you get back. He goes, what the fuck do I got to live for when I get back to America? I'm still going to have to, he goes, yeah, sure, you go back, your white picket fence and be treated equally. I get to go back to go live in the hood and be called nigger again.
Did you see that president?
Not in years.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen that movie in years.
Into that, yeah. Yeah, like, cracks me up.
It's like
that people say things like that. I don't know.
And that's the point. Again, it's funny.
You can protest, but you can't protest.
Oh,
right.
You can protest peacefully. No, no, no. We don't like that protest. Not like that. No. Why are you fucking with my football? You can protest. No, no, no. I don't want you down on the commons. That's in the way of what I'm trying to do. They're going to have to block off roads. No, I don't want that.
Look, but don't touch. Touch, but don't taste. Taste, but don't swallow.
You can protest. Just not where anywhere where I'm going to have to see it because I don't want to deal with it because I don't have to.
Jennifer said the best. Protests are supposed to make you uncomfortable.
And this is the thing, like, because people are more in this woke stage, which I really do appreciate, it's going to get worse as far as the protesting because worse for other people because people are going to blow the fuck up. Like, the protest is going to get stronger and meaner and angry. I'm like, and the more you try to, like, silence people, it's going to get uglier, but you don't want to talk about dude who fucking massacred a whole bunch of people in Vegas. Like, where is that story?
He wasn't a terrorist. He was just mentally disturbed.
That's a domestic terrorist.
No, no, there's no such thing.
That's the thing that I'm just like, this. So it's just...
Who's it? I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to promote anybody over here. I refuse to say people's name. Like, people brought up the dude who shot Trayvon Martin. I'm like, I don't even want to say his name. Because every time you say his name, he gets a little boo. He probably gets a nickel every time his name is said. So I'm not going to make him his name.
He's already done.
You say that until he does something else. But then there's the douchebag who went and killed all those people in the church. They bought him off of fucking food. They bought him off of Burger King because they felt he was anxious. He went in there and shot him. And you know what made him worse was? He knew. This is how you knew he knew what was wrong. Because he even said he almost didn't do it.
Because he was there for an hour.
And then thought about not doing it. He said he walked in there and he was surprised at how welcoming they were. Still did anyway. So he knew what he was doing was wrong. But he's not a domestic terrorist. He's an unbalanced man who was bullied. Fuck you. I was bullied.
You can't be depressed or unbalanced or mentally ill. You're just a thug.
Yeah.
Right?
And when people say that shit to me all the time, they go, well, what do you know? Like, oh, you were never impressed. I'm like, I'm impressed every fucking day of my life. People still get in elevators.
Yeah.
And still like look at me like I'm like, oh, fuck you.
We still feel it's still trickling down, the pain and all that stuff.
It has only been 50 years.
That's because people are like idiots. They don't get it because they don't feel like they see it. Like the first I brought it up to you and Javi, the first time I ever was faced where I realized that like I was different or that I was brown or that I was whatever. I was 6 and I was outside and I was playing with my cousins. I'm half and half. My mother's white. My cousin's blonde hair, blue eyes. We're 6 months apart. We were best friends. We always did everything together. My aunt and uncle lived in Pembroke, which is like a really, it's like a white town predominantly. It's like very like middle class white America. The house that was up on the hill above theirs, a new family moved in, and there were 2 little boys who came outside to play. Me and my cousin minding our business playing, and these 2 kids started throwing rocks at me for no reason, like no nothing, and started calling me a nigger and asking my cousin why she was playing with that dirty nigger. My cousin, who's 6, took the biggest rock she could find and threw it in this kid's face. She split his eye open, like he started bleeding. And her comment was, my cousin's not black, she's brown, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was it. And my aunt and uncle had to go have a conversation with their family because the dad was, you know, angry and pissed off. And my uncle was like, keep your kids away from my yard. Like, that's not welcome here. And no, like, my granddaughter's not going to apologize. You're wrong. Your children were wrong. I don't know what you teach your children. That's not what we teach our children. Like, it was essentially that. But I was 6. I didn't do anything. I didn't provoke it. I didn't ask for it. What 6-year-old should have, why should that have to be, why is that one of my memories, essentially? Mm-hmm. Why is that a memory in my life? It should never be a memory in my life. I was like, wow, yeah, like, I'm different. Oh, okay, I understand. Like,
my first time was when I was 6 too, and I just moved to the States. And I was in the first grade. And it was this, and I would always go to the bathroom around the same time. And then, you know, people would be in the hallway and stuff. And there was this white kid who, I think a couple of times I met up with him in the, we would run into each other in the hallway. And sometimes I was by myself. And he was like this redheaded kid. Maybe that's why I don't like really seeing redheads nowadays. But it was a redheaded kid, just kidding. But it was a redheaded kid, had freckles, very pale. And he always slammed me against the locker every time. Bad. I'm like, what the fuck? He did it only to me every time I came out of the bathroom. Like, he was like, he would pretend like he wasn't coming towards me, but then would run up to me and, like, get me by the shirt and shit.
See, like, it's...
And I was just like, why? And then it took me for a while. I was like, why did he keep doing it? I'm like, it had to be a race thing. Like, it has to be. Because he didn't do it to anybody else but me.
I can tell you the first time I really went down on me. For me, it was my junior or senior year in high school. I can't remember when it was. But I went to predominantly black schools. I lived in predominantly black areas. I even worked at a predominantly black supermarket. I used to work at a stock market. Managers were white. But, like, you know, they never really, like, treated me any certain way. But the first time I ever felt any which way was we played the school Catholic Memorial. It's actually down the street from where we are. And my coach said, I just want to give you guys a heads up. This is the only time you're going to see any of these teachers at any of our games ever when we play Catholic Memorial. And so, no, so that was a junior year. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, they showed up. I was like, why the fuck did they show up for this game? I didn't really question it or whatever. Senior year, same thing. My coach, I guess he gives a speech out every year. Senior year, he goes, the same thing. He goes, they're going to show up for this game, blah, blah, blah. So I went to him. I was like, why are they going to show up for this game? We have X amount of games a year. Why this game? He goes, because it's a predominantly white school market. Flat out. And I went, no. And then I seen all these teachers who I was always saying, oh, come, because I got along with my teachers fairly well. Mm-hmm. And I would always be like, oh, come to this game. And they'd be like, oh, well, we'll make it to one of them. The only game they showed up for was the Catholic Memorials game, which was a white school. That was the only time. And it didn't, and it hit me. I was just like, and then in my constant need to be optimistic, I'm like, if that racism can't be that bad. You know what I mean? You see it on TV, things like that, but I'm like, it's over dramatized. They're doing this for that. The first time I actually felt it directly, I was going on vacation. I was going to St. Thomas, and there was a sale, and the cereal was fucked up. I was like, fuck that. I'm getting all the cereal I can now. Mm. So I wasn't even trying to hide. So I bought the cereal, I left and went back upstairs. And I'm still in the store, I'm sitting down there, and the woman goes, oh, Mark, did you pay for the food? And I'm like, yeah, I paid for this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to see your receipts. I'm like, for what? I want to make sure you bought it. I'm like, I've been off the clock for a half hour. Why would I do that? She goes, I just need to make sure that you pay for it. And I was like, for what? And never given this woman an inkling of stealing. Which is funny, after that moment, I did start stealing from the store.
But you don't think I'm stealing anyway, bitch.
That's a limitation, bitch. not you, just anybody trying to say this shit. And so they saw the receipt, and they was like, oh, well, Mark, you can't do that. I'm like, I can't do what? He goes, oh, you knew there was an issue with it. Right? I didn't know anything. I bought cereal, it was fucked up. I went and got more. Everybody in here does it. And she was like, well, Mark, basically try to tell me I should have been fired for that. I'm like, whatever, I'm about to go on vacation, go fuck yourself.
Oh, because the price was wrong?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know better than that. I'm like, I don't know better than anything. I was like, I went and bought some cereal, I got more. So my grandmother, Mary, when I left on vacation, she checked her. She goes, if you ever do that to my grandson again, I'll go to jail for what I'm going to do to you.
Flat out. Yeah, I got bail money.
Flat out. And my grandmother, they always used to say to her, oh, we need to make sure that when you go into the room, we have somebody else with you. And my grandmother goes, you guys do not have enough money in the store for me to go to jail for. And I talked to my grandmother about it. She goes, literally, they were watching you because they wanted to catch you doing something. I was like, why? She goes, because they're racist. Flat out. And it was just that one woman. Because my manager heard about it, didn't say anything to me because he backed me up. Every other manager in there backed me up because it's me. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, fine, fuck you. I only stole on her shift too. Flat out. When she was in charge, oh, yeah, I'm stealing. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's in charge? Oh, I'm leaving the party.
I can't even imagine you stealing anything.
I was a little shit. I would steal, like, stupid shit. I stole, like, DVDs and fucking, like, juice. And shit like that.
Grape juice.
Grape drink.
Grape drink.
Grape drink. But no, like, I didn't really get the impact of it until, like, directly until I became an adult.
Yeah, you can process it.
And you start seeing certain things, and it kind of fucks you up, especially when you live as long as you have and you don't really see it. And so one day you see it, and you're like, oh.
That's
right. This is why this happened. This is why this happened. This is why that happened. I'm like, well, that's kind of fucked up. And I started to read Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's book, and his book is pretty fucked up. Like, you hear about the stuff that he actually went through and things like that, and it was... Like, he had a friend that he was really close to. And in the time of growing up, with all the racial tension, his friend saw him one day, like, he was with his friend. And he goes, something, you stupid nigger. And then Jabbar responded, well, fuck you, milk bottle. And it was because he was just basically like, well, how do I react? This person was my friend. And this is what they're calling him. I'm like, what the fuck? I put the book down. Like, it was, I couldn't, like, at the time, I couldn't even, like, begin to process that shit.
So damn petty. And what's sad is just like you're, like, the one you said about your cousin, like, no, my cousin's brown. Like, just the innocence of, like, not even
like
being able.
Fixed. Like, to comprehend that, them call me black,
you know,
and dirty.
She's
like,
what are you talking about? She's
brown.
Brown.
She's not black. She's
like,
brown. What are you talking about?
Just that whole thing. Just like, and then after a little, like, damn, like, you're really trying to shatter someone's innocence.
For no reason.
You know what, there's a dude at my job who remained nameless. On the flip side of that, is what pisses me off even more is black people who pull the race card for everything.
Yeah, that's annoying.
It's like, dude, you gotta pull the race card so many times that when you actually do need it, you're not gonna have any, dude. Like, that shit kills
me. Well, no, yeah, sometimes, like, it's just straight up you're an asshole.
Yeah,
like, or sometimes it's just you're not good enough. Or sometimes, like...
There's, like, a couple of, like... black women that I was like friends with, or black girls that I was friends with, and sometimes I'm just like, yeah, maybe I can see why. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm like,
When you act ignorant and do stupid shit, like,
I'm
you're
like,
gonna get ignorant.
You sleep with
back.
Dogs, you're gonna wake. You sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
I'm like, man, I know why you're alone, or I know why, like, you're, I don't know. It just they. I'm like, you're really helping the stereotype, like, for real.
Yeah, and
I don't even know about you.
My homegirl, Patrice, we did a pod, and she talked about people who are so fucking woke that they can't even get out of their own damn way.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
That conspiracy theorist. Way too much.
Like, you're a splat, nigga! You need to open your eyes!
Yeah.
Yeah, I got drunk one day. I was leaving the bar one night, and, I left it like...
I'm having a great time, you guys, by the way.
This is what we do. You have an open invitation.
I'll be back again. I would love to come back.
So, I was leaving work. I left work at like 3 or 4. I didn't leave the bar until like 9.
Yeah. She's struggling.
Oh, you looking at
her?
Yeah.
She's struggling so hard.
Thor fucking... What is this? A Thor can opener?
Yeah. Like that, it doesn't open bottles. It doesn't open a bottle top. It obliterates.
It wasn't deep enough, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
gotta... I'm not even gonna make the joke.
No, pause.
I don't even say that shit. Like, you know.
I hate when they say pause and you don't need to have a pause.
Yo, I'm gonna go get my dog. Pause.
Like,
that doesn't even mean anything. Because they don't know what it is. Do you know how many kids, like, by Felicia... Like, do you even know what that's from? Like,
yeah,
now,
Felicia.
I sound like so old when I say this because they're like, bye, Felicia. I'm like, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means, young man? Do you know what that means? Do you know what that is from? That is from Friday. That is from the book
right.
of Friday.
The book of Friday.
Let me teach you something. Like, they don't know why they're saying bye, Felicia. I'm like, oh, you're ruining my life.
The book yeah. of
Friday.
I think that'd be episode title. I might call this the Book of Friday.
But it's funny because they don't get it. Like, kids, oh my god, I was about to say kids nowadays don't get it.
say.
That, well, no, but that moment when you realize you're getting old, because, like, we talk about this all the time. No, but we talk about this shit all the time. But, like, these damn young kids don't know nothing. Shit.
Yeah.
Fucking millennial. But somebody thought that about us. Like,
no,
somebody.
No, I refuse to believe that. You wonder why? Because we all admit the music in the 70s is probably better than the music that you were listening to in the 90s. We all like Earth, Wind, and Fire. We all like James Brown.
Yeah, but there was a lot of good 90s music.
There was, but we also.
R&B was like.
I would say, as far as
on
like,
point.
As far as they would be like, you kids don't know nothing about this. That's as far as I would say my parents would go. They'd be like,
you don't know nothing about this. You don't know nothing about Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I grew up listening to Prince and Quincy Jones and Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I would say this, and I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this. I never liked Joyce.
I'm going to have to leave.
That's a wrap.
Right? Can I come home with you?
I never liked Jodeci.
That's not the point.
Straight up. I never liked
Jodeci. Jodeci was like.
I never liked R. Kelly.
Oh, no.
R. Kelly
had one.
Before he started peeing on people?
He's been married.
We never know. Yes, I was about to say that. Everybody forgets. Everybody's like, oh my god, I can't believe he got caught peeing on a young girl. I'm like, that motherfucker married a child.
Yeah, the
he married a child.
Yeah, let me tell you.
And everybody's acting surprised.
You better be lucky there was no social media back then.
Why?
Kidding me?
Everybody knew he married Aaliyah.
No, we quote unquote knew he married Aaliyah. We didn't know he married Aaliyah.
It was one of those kind of things.
It's, you know what it is?
On a side
note. It's you know what it is? No. You know what it is? It's essentially like, we don't know if Queen Latifah likes men, but we know she doesn't.
That one was like a toughie because, yes.
She's private.
But that's
like Oprah.
Because I thought
her and Gail.
Oprah has said men.
But
I also thought
MC
Light was gay.
She's
not.
See?
You thought the brat was gay too.
Yeah.
But my
because why though? Because they're strong females? Like, I don't.
No, they dress like dudes.
Yeah, but like.
Because they're strong females. I married a strong female.
Yeah, because they got dicks.
Because I saw her dick fall out of the side of her pants, Maria. That's why.
No, but like, but again, when you're a kid, you think those things.
Like,
when you're a kid. But like, you know, but obviously, like right now, I don't give a shit to Queen. I don't really care. I got gay relatives. I got gay friends. I go into gay.
You have like, you have black friends.
I don't have black friends. I don't have black friends. Fuck them.
Don't worry about that.
But no, it's probably a conversation from the But no, like, it's just one of those things where, like, we knew, but we didn't, you know what I mean? Like, OJ. We all know OJ was guilty of that shit in some way, shape, or form. You never know, but some way, shape, or form. I say that because you have a theory.
I think it was his kid.
And you think it was his kid, but
what?
Guess what? But guess what?
At the time.
But guess what? But OJ still knew in some way, shape, or form. So he was
culpable?
Culpable. He was culpable of that shit. So somebody said before, he's guilty of something that fucking murder.
Coitus. Sorry.
Coitus?
No.
Did you see
the series? Did you watch the FX section?
With
Cuba Gooding Jr.? Yo, he rocked that shit, though.
But, like, really?
Cuba rocked that shit.
The clues, what they were talking about, I was like, holy crap, they never really talked about that.
Because half of it got...
Yeah.
Like Kardashian, like, they think that he destroyed evidence. Like, they, like, there's a whole...
ESPN did one that's supposed to be, like run a bunch of awards for it. And it was, I think it was, like, 5 or 6 of them or something like that. They did a whole thing about, like, OJ and the murder and all that. And it wasn't, like, a dramatized thing. They used, like, actual facts from the case.
Yeah.
ESPN did one. It's like, oh, if I can find it, you can watch it. But it's not even 30 to 30. Like, they did a legit thing about the OJ trial.
They tracked the whole case, yeah.
But, like, it's... I say that to say this because if there was social media back then, when that shit would happen with R. Kelly would never have another hit. Would never have another hit, ever. He's not Michael Jackson talented. He's not Kobe Bryant talented.
But you know what? Even if he does have another hit, people are still gonna support him.
Chris Brown does. Chris Brown wants to go solo.
Chris Brown is a piece of shit too.
I mean, there's a white.
I don't understand the support on that shit either because he straight up whipped that ass, and everybody's just pretending like it didn't happen.
The thing with Chris Brown that I give a pass to a little bit a little bit more forgiving.
I just want to point out that a woman said this, not a guy.
Listen, just a little. I'm not a pass, but a little bit more forgiving. I'm not saying what he did was right. He's a young ass dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's 18, blah, 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 blah. R. Kelly's a grown ass man, and he's doing something that's like, it's statutory rape and all that shit. I get it. It's pedophilia. So I'm a little more forgiving with someone who hits his girlfriend at 18 years old, who's in the limelight.
Taking their pimps.
I don't know. I'm not buying Chris Brown songs like that, and I'm not a fan of his, but it's a little bit more forgiving. I'm not saying it's okay. All I'm saying is just like,
let's be honest, y'all forget.
I think they're.
He didn't do it!
Who did he forget?
Michael Jackson.
Y'all forget Michael Jackson.
He didn't do that. Yes, he is, but I don't think he did anything to the kids.
You gotta tell him. Every time you say something you don't believe, you rub your nose.
She's smelling bullshit. That's why her nose gets all itchy. She gets that little twinge.
She learned the bullshit.
I mean,
it's a long one. I mean, yeah.
Again, one of those things in the black community where you don't want to admit it, but you know, kind of like, eh. Like, you know, but again, you know what the problem is though, and it's something else. Keeping family secrets. There are certain things in the black community you are not supposed to say. You just don't. Gilbert Arenas, when I talked about this on the podcast with this lady, beautiful black skin. Gilbert Arenas said that there are no dark, beautiful dark skinned women. He goes, there's like one of them. And then he called out, you ever seen the Black Panther trailer?
Yes.
So Lupita Nyong'o, I think that's her name. She did a photo shoot when she was like in the Caribbean or something like that. She was just taking pictures, and he was calling her ugly, calling her like dark skinned women are ugly and stuff like that. And my homegirl Amanda Panda, shout out to you because if you listen to this, she goes, if you have a certain opinion about the way you think about people, that's fine. Like what you like what you don't like what you don't like. He goes, but the way he talked about them. It was like, it's like insulting. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a light-skinned guy. His kids are not going to be light-skinned. Sure, he ended up, quote-unquote, hitting a lottery and ended up dating a light-skinned woman. But it's like, dude, you're basically shitting on your entire race by saying... Hey. Yeah.
What does that even mean, though? He said he hit the lottery because he found a light-skinned woman to marry?
A lot of people think that hitting the lottery is dating a light-skinned woman. They think, like, marry... If you've heard people, they go, oh, you married a white girl, good for you. That's a thing.
But why?
I don't know. I don't think like
that. Because they associate lightness with wealth or intelligence or betterness.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, where in the Bible, white is pure. White is holy. The black plague, the black death. Like, you know what I mean? These are things that go on like that.
And it's a religious thing because let's say you take Haiti and the Dominican Republic, for instance. The reason why those islands don't really get along is because when Napoleon was, invading Haiti, and then, like, I think more of the Spaniards were invading the Dominican Republic, and they were mixing or whatever, raping people and all that shit, and, you know, mixed kids were coming about, they associated those mixed kids with more privilege. So they got an education. They weren't the house niggas. Their father was white, whatever. So they got the benefits of, like, being more privileged.
Well, where the fuck are my benefits? Shit.
You're close off the coast. You're close off the coast of Africa.
That's still to this day. That still goes on, like that whole.
And not even to be funny, but and I say this dead seriously. It's probably because your country's close to the coast of Africa.
No, it's the same thing though. there. Like, the lighter you are. Every if you, any culture you go to or talk to, anybody, the lighter you are, the more revered you are. Every culture. Every culture.
My mom is very light-skinned, and she's always commenting about my nose. She's like, you have such a good nose. I'm like, what are you talking about? But she would always make, she always made comments about my lips. She's like, oh, you have your dad's lips, your dad's mouth, and you get mad. She would always say shit about my lips, but always say good things about my nose.
No, it's like,
that's some deep shit.
Yeah, like, that's even though I get it, it's just one of those.
But, when, yeah, when you're taught it, even at home, like that, like comments like that, your mother didn't realize what she was doing at the time, but it's kind of like, how, like, our friend's wife is. She's trying to teach her daughter that natural is beautiful. Like, she wants her daughter to have natural hair. She went to natural hair. Mm-hmm. She learned everything she could about natural hair and how to treat, maintain, like, hairstyles, everything. Because she wants her daughter to feel beautiful the way she is. She's like, you know, I always relax. Or put in weave, or wore a wig, or did something that made me feel like that's what made me beautiful. Mm-hmm. She was like, but I didn't want my daughter to feel like that's what makes mm-hmm. you beautiful. I wanted her to feel beautiful for what she was.
And it's best at home.
And it's, but like that, to me, is like beautiful that she's going to teach her daughter. Mm-hmm. She's teaching her daughter that, like, mm-hmm. it's okay to be natural. It's okay. Because as far back as I can remember, like, my nieces and stuff, I used to relax their hair. I used to, like, for my sister-in-law, like, I'd help her out. We'd do whatever because, like, that's what was taught to be beautiful. Right. My niece had beautiful, like, curly, like, locks, like, down, you know, past her shoulders. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't so, like, we straightened our hair. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you learn that at a young age, how to use a hot comb, how to relax, how to, like, you learn all of that, like, so young, like.
My dad got pissed at my mom when she first gave me a perm. She went behind my dad's back because I think one time he actually had a fight about it. He was like, do not perm my hair. And then he came home one time, and my mom was right in the middle of it, and my dad got pissed. And it's funny because my mom would, like, it's not like my mom, like, gave me low self-esteem or anything like that.
Yeah, no.
But I noticed, like, the things that she would say or do. And it was like, but at the same time, thank God for my dad because he always tried to, like, keep it up. You know what I mean? Try to always reinvigorate the fact, like, you know, you're fine just the way. And he's a dark man. Like, yeah. He's like, not dark, but he's like a nice, good brown, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So it's just funny because I noticed that shit. I'm just like, wow, like, that's really interesting. Like,
well, there's a lot of things that you, like, you don't realize. Like, I was in therapy, but kind of still am. It's like the things you don't realize that, you're hit with when you're a kid. Or an adolescent, or like a preteen or teenager, like, you know, you don't realize until, like, you get older and you're like, oh shit, this is really wild. This is the first time this happened to me. Like, mm-hmm. like you were saying when you were 6 years old, or when you were saying you were 6 years old, and you start looking at these things going, oh shit. And these are things that, like, kind of, like, shape you as an adult. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and so, like, even, like, I don't miss having hair, but I always wanted to have hair because my dad had hair. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, you know what I mean? Or, my grandmother said something, I brought this up on a previous podcast, and she talked about dark-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying how beautiful they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that until years later. She was just like, and she, as people would take this as a joke, when they say that, she meant it sincerely. She goes, Mark, their skin was so beautiful, it was so dark, it was purple.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
She was being sincere. She thought that that dark skin was absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, not realizing that, like, those are one of the things that shaped me when I look at a dark-skinned woman and go, she's pretty because she's dark-skinned. She's pretty because she's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize the positive and negative reinforcement that you get when you're a certain age until you get older and you realize, I don't have these, I don't have this anger towards a certain sexual orientation or a certain person of color or a certain person of race or religion or whatever because you were taught a certain way. It's just what it is. And unfortunately, sometimes, like, it comes off a little bit more negative when, you know.
I mean, that's how it should be. like, to just look at it, like, with, like, a non... Because I didn't have that upbringing either, maybe because we were foreign as fuck. Like, we didn't even really conform with, like, the American lifestyle, you know what I mean? So the all the homophobia and, like, the light-skin, dark-skin stuff, like, just things that I... that was never brought up in our family. And hearing about it over time, like, that was like, culture shock for me, too, over the years. Like, just hearing stuff, like, really? You guys have an issue with that? Like, just hearing the whole, like, you're pretty or darker. I'm like, what? Like, who forms that type of sentence? Like, it was hard for me to even understand that shit, so.
Well, one of the things, it was, one of the things that they, I read this comic book called The Boys. And,
hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What up, though?
What up, 40 Social, Josh, Evans. What's up? Johnny B. Smooth, Fundy. Okay, that's it.
So, maybe the next time I do this, maybe I should just have you hold the camera.
Me?
Yeah. So, I was reading The Boys. This guy was talking about growing up black and growing up in the hood. And he was saying how he used to think a certain way and he used to do a certain, you think a certain way, you should do things a certain way and look at people again a certain way. But then he said as you grew up and you become an adult, you realize that way of thinking is old and all the stuff that you used to hate or people used to hate doesn't mean shit. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes you're lucky enough to grow out of that. Sometimes you're lucky enough to realize, oh, like my dad said something to me and he said to me, never bring home a white girl. He said this to me when I was like 5 or 6. I still think girls are 8, 5, and 6. Like, you know what I mean? So that was in my head. Never bring a home white girl. Never bring a home white girl. So I'm like, there's something wrong with white women. Something wrong with white people. Mm-hmm. So that's in my head. That's it. That was probably the first instance of racism that I'm thinking of. Now that I'm thinking of it now.
Like, you see, yeah,
now that I think about it, yeah, that was probably the first instance of racism that I've ever really had to deal with. My dad, I was 23, 24, was sitting at a bar around my job, and he said to me, he apologized because he has since then worked with a bunch, because he worked with a bunch of like black guys. He was a janitor, custodian, I can't remember the difference. But he said to me when we were drinking, he goes, he apologized. He goes, I apologize for telling you that all those years. He goes, I was completely wrong for doing that. Mm. But my dad, born in the 60s, maybe like late 50s, I can't remember which one it is. Yeah, 60s. He grew up right around the time of like,
Black Panther movement,
social injustice, like, you know, like race riots and shit like that. So he had a certain way of thinking. I don't know if my grandmother ever thought that way, but, you know, maybe it was instilled on him. But when I became an adult, he apologized for that. Like, you know what I mean? Thankfully, the damage hadn't been done because, like, you know, Lord knows where my head would be now. I wouldn't have married my wife because she's half white. You know what I mean? But these are things that you don't really realize and think about. Like, and I'm thinking about all the missed opportunities I had with people. If, you know, when I wouldn't go hang out with someone because they're white, because I didn't know what my parents would think about that. I didn't date white women because I don't, you know what I mean? Certain like that. These are missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it's, you'd assume that, like, we're in a time, and people, we had a black president, and every racism over now. Jim Crow was in 1970. It hasn't even been 50 years. So when people go, slavery's over, I'm like, no, we're still kind of feeling the effect of that. Like, there are still people who were alive in the 70s when this happens. Like, you know what I mean? Some of these people are only in their 40s. Like, so they remember the shit vividly. So it's not like this shit's going to end. Like, you know what I mean? And I think the problem we have now is just like, there's always the nature versus nurture conversation. And I kind of look at it as kind of like one and the same, because nature taught me one way, and nurture taught me the same thing. Like, you know what I mean? Because like, it's, I lived in one big community, so it was nature and nurture. You were lucky, not lucky. You had the gift and the curse of like getting it from both sides of your family. And one side of the family who was like, you know, I embrace you for everything you are. And the other side of the family, you're like, you ain't shit.
Well, I mean, it's so like my mother, there's a 15 year age gap between her and her younger sibling. Like, my mom was like the oops, Catholic baby. Like, we don't use birth control. So my mother did everything wrong. She married a Spanish guy. She had my brother, like, but my grandmother's comment was, it's all right, we can pass him off as white. My mother was white. So in my grandmother's eyes, she at first wouldn't even talk to my mother. And then she was like, oh, no, we can pass him off as white. Years later, when my mother and my father had my brother, my grandmother wouldn't speak to my mother. She wouldn't touch my brother, like, nothing, because he was, like, that little nigger baby. Like, he was, there was no hiding it. My brother's my complexion. Like, she couldn't hide the fact that her grandchild was colored. Like, oh, was there one? Oh, the grandmother, yeah, I saw that. It was kind of something like that, but worse, because this bitch was vocal about it. I mean, by the time I was born, she had accepted it, and it was okay, but, like, my mother had to deal with that, like, pushback, because my father was dark. Like, my father was dark. He was dark. And then when my grandmother died, so when I was, like, six again, my grandmother died when I was two. My grandfather remarried when I was six. Mm-hmm. The woman that he married would not allow my mother to bring my father or us to their wedding because she didn't want us to disgrace them.
I remember you told me that Amanda's barbecue.
But you know what's so fucked up is my mother still went because it was her father. And my grandfather loved us. My grandfather did everything for us. But it was so fucked up. Why would you marry that? Like, he died when I was like, I think, like, eight. No, I was probably a little bit older. But, like, we never, like, after that, my grandfather would come see us without her. Like, would do things with us without her. Yeah, but, like, why was that okay? Like, that's fucked up. Like, we were, like, the ugly stain.
Did your mom ever say anything to you about that?
My mom doesn't really. My mom's, like, that traditional, like, old school where they don't talk about the bad things. Like, they pretend, like, shit didn't happen. I'm like, bitch, that shit happened. That shit.
Now I'm telling my mom, I'm like, you remember you told me that when I was 15? I'm bringing shit up.
No. I mean, I gave up on that a long time ago.
You gonna face it, Mom.
Like, my mother will never. It's like that. But, okay, so my mother had me when she was 35, so my mother's almost, like, 70 now, you know? Like, so she comes from that old school generation. Like, you don't, shit like that, you know, you pretend.
Wrong.
No, exactly. What? That didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about. Bitch, that happened. That happened. I promise you it happened. So I just got to the point where, like, I let it go. Any of the stuff that I have, any kind of grief or anything that I have that I disagree with my mother or anything like that, I let it go because at the end of the day, it's not going to fix anything. It's not going to change. She will never take blame. She will never admit guilt. And I used to have this brother, talk with my middle brother all the time because he'd, like, be in her face, like, yelling at her about stuff. And I'm like, either never speak to her again or move on and get past it. Like, pick one. Right. Because this isn't okay. Like, accept it. She's never going to tell you she did anything wrong. Just accept it and move on.
I hate that.
And talk to her still, or don't talk to her. That's it. Like, we have, like, a crazy childhood, mm-hmm. So, like,
I mean, I still have issues with families and all that stuff, but, I mean, I'm choosing to let my mom acknowledge it, because we're on that, like, she's in her 70s as well, because, so, she's very coherent, she's here, she's all good. But we have conversations, not like I force it.
Your parents are older too, yeah.
Yeah, and
my parents were young as fuck when they had me. My mom was 19. Dad was 20.
Yeah, my dad was 54. My dad died when I was 17.
My dad was 24.
My dad's 80.
My dad's like maybe 65.
Yeah, my dad.
No shit, he's still, in his 50s.
He'd be like 90 years old. People used to think he was my grandfather all the time. Like, we're at the pool.
That's my dad.
Like, that's my daddy.
That's my
daddy. But,
I choose to talk to her about something. Like, because, why not? You know what I mean? And it's just, she's never, I get that point. Like, she's never going to fully probably not even remember, honestly, but there's some things where I'm just like, that was really messed up that you said this to me. This is why I act this way with you. This is why I still have resentment. I have to right now, like, it's, but she understands, like, she's like,
and oh, she accepts that, and she's,
you know,
all right.
And she's like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Yes. So, you know, it's different now. It's a little different.
I was going to say, because that too, like in different cultures and stuff, there.
Oh, that's
like,
extra.
You get
that's
to ask
when, like, not only are you denying it, like, you're also foreign, so you're not even trying to, like, you're like, oh, what do you mean I did that? I didn't do that.
You're like, no, but see,
no,
in America, that's considered child abuse, mom.
No, but
that's child abuse. Yeah, I know in Haiti, that's not child abuse.
Like,
right here, that's child abuse.
You being twice in one day, like, that's not. You,
for the same, for the same thing.
Right? You was just mad hours later.
You can't be throwing shit like that.
Seriously, no pistol with it. Alright, we're we got to the 1 hour and 10 minute mark. I don't want to keep people up yet. Thank you everyone for listening to us on the podcast. Thank you for everyone who joined live. I appreciate it. I want to thank Miss Lady Beast.
Yay!
I want to thank my lovely life. Lovely life. Yeah, my lovely life.
I am here.
Yeah, my lovely life, Miss Magic.
Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
As always, thank you. Can I get a damn it, Wade?
What?
Damn it, Wade.
Damn it, Wade.
Can I get a damn it, Wade, from you, Pooh?
No.
Fuck off.
That'll never happen.